Welcome back. Today we're doing something that feels almost too simple for drum and bass, but it's exactly why it works. This lesson is all about subpatch design with minimal plugins in Ableton Live, intermediate level, so I'm assuming you can move around live comfortably, but we're going to tighten up your decision making so your subs come out consistent, punchy, and mix ready without a giant chain of stuff you don't actually need. Here's the mindset. The sub has a single job. It's not the personality of the bass line. It's the foundation. The mid layer is where all the attitude lives. If you keep that separation clear, your low end suddenly gets way easier to mix, and your drops hit harder without you even turning things up. We're building two subs today. First, a pure rolling sub that basically never fails. Second, a reese-ready sub that's still clean, but has just a touch more harmonic information so it translates on smaller speakers. Then we'll do a quick layering template, sidechain it properly to the kick, and I'll give you a couple pro workflow moves you can reuse in every project. Alright, step 0, project and monitoring setup. Do this once, and you'll save yourself hours. Set your tempo to a typical DNB range, 172 to 176. I'll park it at 174. Now on your master, drop Ableton's spectrum. Set the block size to 4096 so the low-end readout is more precise, and put the averaging to medium. Don't stare at it like it's the truth, but it's a solid reference. Optional but highly recommended. Put utility on the master as well, so you can hit mono anytime. Low-end lies to you in stereo. Mono tells the truth. Your general target is that your fundamental sits somewhere around 40 to 60 Hz depending on key, and you're not wasting energy below roughly 30 Hz. A little is fine, but uncontrolled sub 20 rumble is just headroom getting deleted. One more coach note before we even touch the synth. Gain staging first, sound design second. Pull the instrument output down so the sub track peaks around minus 12 to minus 6 dBFS. If you start loud, you'll oversaturate, overcompress, and your sidechain decisions will be biased. Cool. Patch A. The pure rolling sub, using operator. Create a new MIDI track, load operator. After operator, we're going to add, in order, EQ8, saturator, utility, and optionally a limiter as a safety catch. Now an operator, keep this extremely simple. Choose the algorithm where only oscillator A is audible. Set OSCA to a sine wave. That's your clean fundamental. Voices, set it to 1. We're not doing big poly stuff here. Keep it stable. Make sure pitch envelope is off for now. We'll add that later as an intentional option, not as an accident. Now your amp envelope is where the groove comes from. Set attack very small, basically 0 to 1 millisecond. If you ever get clicking, you'll come back and increase it slightly to 1 to 3 milliseconds, but start snappy. Decay. Aim around 120 to 220 milliseconds. Sustain. Usually all the way down, or very low depending on how you program your MIDI notes. For rolling DNB, we often use shorter notes, and the envelope helps define that breathing feel with the drums. Release. Around 60 to 120 milliseconds. This is a big one. Too short and it clicks or feels like it's choking. Too long and your groove turns to soup, because notes overlap and smear. Now EQ8. You're not mixing the sub. You're removing useless energy. Turn on a high pass filter on the first band. Use a steep slope, 24 or 48 dB per octave. Set it somewhere between 20 and 30 Hz. Start at 25. That's it for most cases. If the sub feels weirdly boxy or woofy, you can try a tiny bell dip around 120 to 200 Hz, 1 or 2 dB, but be careful, do not carve your fundamental. The whole point is weight and stability. Next, saturator. This is not for dirt, this is for translation. Choose a gentle mode like soft sine or analog clip. Turn soft clip on. Drive. Start around plus 1 dB and creep up toward plus 4 dB if you need it. Then compensate the output so the level is basically the same when you bypass it. If you don't level match, you'll always think the louder one is better. What you're listening for, the sub should still sound like a sub, but it becomes easier to perceive on smaller speakers because you're adding controlled harmonics. If it starts sounding like a mid-bass, you've gone too far. Now utility. Set width to 0%. Hard mono. This is one of those non-negotiables for most DNB subs. If you ever feed stereo into this chain later, you can use the bass mono feature around 120 Hz, but for now just keep it straight mono. Set the gain so it sits confidently, but doesn't bully your master. Again, minus 12 to minus 6 peak on the track is a nice working zone. Optional. Limiter at the end, ceiling around minus 0.3 dB. This is only a catch for rogue peaks, not your loudness plan. If you see it working hard, back up and fix the level earlier. Now we've got the patch. Let's make it roll. Program a classic rolling sub pattern. Choose a key that tends to sit well in DNB systems. F, F sharp, and G are super common because the fundamentals land in that satisfying low range. For quick reference, F1 is about 43.7 Hz, F sharp 1 is about 46.2, and G1 is about 49 Hz. In your MIDI clip, think in eighth notes with syncopation. A simple one bar idea: hit on beat 1, then the end of 1, then beat 3, and then a pickup right before beat 4. But here's the teacher move. Don't use velocity to make groove. Use note length. Note length is basically your musical sidechain before you even compress anything. Typical note lengths are 8th to 16th notes, with your release controlling the tail. Shorten notes for urgency and a tighter pocket. Lengthen slightly for weight and glide, but don't let it overlap everything. Also, pick one anchor note per section. A lot of huge DNB low end feels huge because it keeps returning to a stable root or fifth. The listener feels grounded even when the mid bass is doing gymnastics. Alright, patch B. Reese ready sub, using wave eatable, still sub focused, just a bit more character potential. Create a new MIDI track, load wave eatable. After wave eatable, add auto filter, saturator, EQ8, and utility. In wave eatable, oscillator 1, basic shapes, choose a sine or sine-like shape. Oscillator 2 off, or at least basically inaudible. Unison off. This is important. Don't widen the sub. Voices set to 1. Amp envelope. Attack 0 to 2 milliseconds. Decay 150 to 250 milliseconds. Sustain low or off depending on your note programming. Release 80 to 140 milliseconds. Similar vibe to operator, just slightly different ranges to taste. Now auto filter. Set it to a 24 dB low pass. Dart cutoff around 180 Hz, and you can move it between 120 and 250 depending on how much upper content you want. Resonance low, around 0.1 to 0.3. Drive 0 to 3 dB, very light. If you want subtle movement, you can modulate cutoff with an LFO at an eighth note or quarter note rate, but keep the amount tiny. If you can clearly hear wah, it's not a sub anymore. That kind of movement belongs in the mid layer. Then saturator. Same philosophy. Drive plus 1 to plus 5, soft clip on, output matched. EQ8, high pass at 25 Hz. Utility, width 0%. Now you've got two reliable sub options. Let's do the layering workflow that keeps your mix clean. In DNB, the most effective approach is usually this. The sub handles roughly 20 to 120 Hz, and the mid bass handles 120 Hz and up. So keep your sub track as patch A or patch B. Then duplicate your MIDI clip onto a second track called mid-bass. On the mid-bass track, put EQ8 first and high-pass at around 100 to 150 Hz. Start at 120 Hz. Steep slope, 24 or 48 dB per octave. Now you can go wild on the mid-track, because you've protected the sub. Use wave eatable, operator, analog, whatever. Add redux lightly, amp, pedal and saturator mode, auto filter, chorus ensemble, erosion, all the fun stuff. But one rule. Never chorus the sub. If you want width, do it above about 150 Hz. If you break this rule, you'll get phase weirdness, weak mono playback, and your bass will feel like it disappears on big systems. Next, glue the sub to the drums with sidechain, the right way for DNB. On the sub track, add compressor. Turn on sidechain. Choose the kick track as the input, or even better, a dedicated ghost kick if your main kick has too much tail or variation. Starting settings, ratio 4 to 1. Attack very fast, around 0.5 to 3 milliseconds. Release 50 to 120 milliseconds. Then set threshold, so you get about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. For modern rollers, you want it subtle but consistent. The goal is space at impact, not a big house pump. Quick ear tuning method. Set the release so the sub returns just before the next important bass note. If the bass feels late, shorten release. If the kick feels buried, increase ratio slightly or lower threshold slightly. If it pumps too much, reduce ratio and maybe lengthen release a touch. Always do this with the drums playing, not in solo. Also, don't trust spectrum alone. A sub can look perfect at 45 to 55 Hz and still feel weak if the kick and sub aren't lining up in timing or phase. A really good kick and sub relationship feels like one combined engine, not two separate thumps fighting for space. If it feels hollow, try nudging the sub MIDI a few milliseconds earlier or later, or try flipping polarity on the kick using utility if that's appropriate. Small changes can make a massive difference. Now arrangement ideas, because sub design isn't just the patch, it's how you deploy it. For an intro, try teasing the sub. One bar on, one bar off. That creates anticipation without adding more layers. In the drop, keep the sub consistent and automate movement on the mid layer instead. That's a pro workflow. Stable low end, evolving character. Mid drop variation. Change the sub rhythm for just 4 bars. Shorter notes instantly feel more urgent, like the drum sped up, even though the tempo didn't move. Breakdown move, filter the mid layer away and keep a quiet sign sub for tension, but watch headroom. A quiet sub can still eat a lot of space. Another big energy trick, sub discipline. Remove the sub for 1 or 2 beats right before a big hit, or do one bar where the sub only plays downbeats. When the full rolling pattern returns, it feels louder at the same fader position. Now let's cover the common mistakes so you can avoid the classic low-end pain. First, stereo sub. Anything wide below about 120 Hz is asking for phase trouble. Second, oversaturating. If the sub starts competing with the mid-bass, you lose clarity and your mix turns muddy. Third, no high pass at all. Sub 20 rumble steals headroom and doesn't translate musically. Fourth, long releases that smear. If notes overlap too much, your groove loses definition. Fifth, sidechain release not matched to tempo. Wrong release makes the bass feel late, or makes the kick lose impact. Before we wrap, a few extra upgrades, still minimal. If your sub disappears on small speakers, don't ruin the fundamental. Instead, create a translator layer. Duplicate the sub track and call it sub harmonics. On that track, high pass aggressively around 120 to 180 Hz. Then add saturator and drive it until you clearly hear presence. Then back off slightly. Then low pass around 1 to 3 kHz so it stays bass focused. Keep it quiet. It should support the sub, not replace it. If you get clicks, don't try to fix them with utility. Clicks are envelope or MIDI problems. Add 1 to 3 milliseconds of attack, or make sure your MIDI notes aren't doing awkward overlaps or micro baps that cause sudden resets. And if you want a little extra punch for darker rollers, you can add a micro pitch drop in operator. Turn on pitch envelope, set the amount to something subtle like -5 to -15 semitones, and decay 20 to 60 milliseconds. It creates a tiny thump at the start of the note. Careful though, subtle is the whole point. Now your mini practice exercise. This is 15 to 20 minutes, and it'll level you up fast. This audio version is shortened for playback.